Okay. I was asked to take James's place this morning since he's going. And I'm not sure that I can take his place after he had said something to me about it. I thought he said the fifth Sunday of November, but I wasn't sure. So I texted him and asked him for sure of the date. And so he wrote back and text back and said that it would be October the 5th. So I text back and said, boy, that's going to be a long time before I preach. So he texted back and said, what do you mean? You just have 8 more nights to sleep, then you can preach. And so the next Sunday I came up here and I talked to him a little bit, and I said, you didn't get what I wrote back to you, did you? And he said, well, I don't know why. And he said, well, you told me it's on October the 5th, and that's a long time away, you know. Oh, he said, he didn't know that he wrote that. So I guess James is getting older. When you get older, your memory isn't as good as it used to be. He came into the church house one Sunday morning and told my wife when we got in. He said, hey, I had a dream last night, and it was this dream about Christmas and all the things about Christmas, and that Martha came in and told him something about Christmas. I don't remember what all it was anymore, but he had a good time. Everybody was laughing about it. And so later on I thought, well, the Bible does say that old man shall dream dreams and young men shall see visions, you know. So that, where does that put him? I don't know. You have a guess. So I'm not going to teach out of the book of Deuteronomy either, because the girls might think I'm preaching about the dude around me. So I won't be talking about that scripture. Anyhow, probably this message is going to be a little different from what I have normally done. And what I would like to share with you this morning is, how can I, as a Christian, hear the voice of God? I guess you saw that in the bulletin. I have various scriptures in mind. I don't know how many I'm going to read, but let's take our memory back to the account of Samuel. When he was born, his mother wanted to lend him to the Lord. And her husband went to the feast, and she didn't go. She wanted to stay home until she had trained her newborn son, gotten him off of nursing, and she was going to lend this little boy to the Lord. And that was a good thing, a very good thing. So when he was old enough, she took him to the temple. And how this all started out was that Hannah went to the temple and prayed, and the priest there, she didn't pray out loud, she was just talking and her lips were moving, and he went over and said, what's wrong with you? Are you a drunk woman? She said, no, I'm not drunk. My heart is really heavy. I'm asking the Lord for something. And so he said, well, what is it? And then she told him. And lo and behold, the Lord answered the prayer, and Samuel was born. I'm not sure, but after a while, when she took him down at to the temple with her husband, I have no idea how at this point as to how old Samuel was, but he stayed there at the temple and ministered, a little boy. And then one night, the Lord came to Eli, and he said, "There's something going on here that I don't like. Your boys, when people come in to give their offering, your boys are being very naughty. And they're doing evil things. And I want you to take care of that. Change that. Tell your boys what they are doing and that it's an evil thing that they are doing." So he talked to his boys, and the words that he said really didn't help the boys. They just thought that Eli was just in a nice way telling them that they shouldn't do that, you know, but if you do, you know, what can I do about it? So the boys continued. Samuel was sleeping one night, and the Lord said, "Samuel, Samuel." And he awoke, and he went over to Eli, and he said, "Did you call me?" And Eli said, "No, I didn't. Go back to sleep. I didn't call you." So he went back, and I don't know how long he was in bed. The Lord said again, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel was sure that it was Eli calling him. So he got out of bed, went over to Eli, and said, "Did you call me?" "No, I didn't call you." And Eli said to Samuel, "Go back to bed. If the master calls again, answer him and say, 'Here am I, your servant. Speak.'" So Samuel went back to bed, and pretty soon, I don't know, was he sleeping already when the Lord called and woke him up, and he said, "Samuel?" And Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And so the Lord told to Samuel everything that he was going to do to Eli's household. You can imagine what this did to that little boy. I'm not sure how old Samuel was at this point, but he didn't go over and tell Samuel that night. The next morning he came, and Eli could tell that he had something on his heart. There was something wrong. And so Eli said, "What did the Lord say?" And so Samuel told him all that the Lord has said. "If you don't take care of this, I'm going to destroy your home." You can imagine how Samuel felt in telling Eli that. But he did. Samuel was faithful. And Eli, still after that, he didn't really correct his boys or tell them that they shouldn't be doing the things that they're doing. And so the result was that the Lord did a mighty work there. And so today, I would like to talk about something that I have probably never talked about in my ministry. When I was up here talking to through James. I told him a little bit what I was going to talk about, and I told him that I would like to talk about the spiritual gifts. God has spiritual gifts that he would like to give to every one of us. Sometimes it's very hard for us to receive something. And especially if a stranger or somebody wants to give you a gift, oh no, that's fine, you know. When the Lord wants to give you something, you'll say, oh well, I can get along without it. I had a notion to put something in an envelope and say I have a gift here for someone, whoever wants to come and get it. Even then, people are just a little bit leery or something, you know. They don't want to receive a gift. But 6 different times the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Corinthians, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, this is what I'm going to say. And then he mentions in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, and he talks about these spiritual gifts. James and I talked about that for a while. And then he said the reason we don't talk much about the spiritual gifts is because if somebody has the gift of teaching, we don't hang that gift upon him and say, here's a man that teaches. He can really teach the Bible, although that may be the case. But he said we just don't hang that upon him, you know, or give him the name as a teacher. And I wondered, well, what is he saying? Because I don't know of any person besides James that has said, when he got up here after I preached, that he said he definitely has the gift of evangelism. Now, why he associated that with me, but he's not allowed to with all the others, I don't know. I don't understand. But God comes along, and he says that he wants to give us some spiritual gifts. Now, when we went to Bill Gothard's meetings, I know some of you know who that is. He fell by the wayside sometime afterwards, but he said that according to his insight, I would have had the gift of exhortation. My wife would have had the gift of prophecy. Now, when we think of a prophet, we think of someone that tells somebody how wrong they are and what they're doing. That's what we consider as what a prophet can see. He can see the future, he can talk about the future, and correct things that are wrong. And basically, that's what a prophet does, is tell people what they're doing wrong. So we don't have a good evaluation of a prophet. Well, according to Bill Gothard, my wife had the gift of prophecy. And I don't know, maybe there is, but I don't know, of anyone that goes around talking to the other ladies and things and trying to give them encouragement than my wife does. She goes around and tells people how good they did things or what this or that. And yet she has the gift of prophecy. So she's not telling these people how wrong they are in what they're doing, but what good they have done. And that's exactly what Paul said. Prophecy is for the inspiration of the whole body. That's what prophecy does, to inspire everyone So, in sharing this message, I'm again going to tell you about some of our personal experience in life. When we got saved, David Miller from Oklahoma, I don't know if how many of you would still remember him, since most of you are not old folks anymore. So, but he was a good evangelist, and he had evangelistic meetings in the church where we went. And I responded one evening, and I responded in a way of confession. I made a confession before the church and said that I was involved in this and that. And so I just made a confession. I thought, that is what's going to help me. Just making a confession, I would surely feel more like I'm a Christian. And so I went home and went to work the next morning. Excuse me. And nothing was different the next morning. I went right on doing the things that I did before. There was no power there. There was no victory. It was just nothing. And I think sometimes people do that very thing. They think just by confessing it to somebody else, I'm not saying it doesn't help, but it doesn't clear up the issue. So I went to church that night again, and by the leading of the Lord, Uri Shetler was there, and that night I really got under conviction. I don't even remember what the message was about anymore, but I responded and went down to the basement, and lo and behold, Uri Shetler, that was Martha Slabaugh's father, was there, and he went down to the basement after me. And of course, Uri Shetler led me to a saving faith in Jesus Christ that night. The first time that I ever had an experience like that, in having my sins forgiven, and just knowing that they are forgiven. I mean, I felt like a brand new person. I walked up out of that basement and everything looked different. I mean, the stars were brighter. Everything was different. I was so happy. My wife was not a Christian at that particular time. And she was so touched in her heart by the happiness that I had received from the Lord, the forgiveness of the Lord, that the next evening she went. She responded because she said that she wants the same thing that my husband has. And so she went down, responded, and went down to the basement. And that's where, I'm not sure who the person was that talked to her, but she was led to the Lord that evening. So we both had real rejoicing and were happy. A little bit after that, they asked me to have a devotional in the Beachy Church there in Hartville, Ohio. And so I had a devotions, and I guess I must have really preached or something, but one person that I work with, another guy came to him and said, "Boy, we really heard a message last night." And I guess it was. I don't know. I just had devotions, you know. Well, anyhow, we lived a joyful life. There was nothing like it ever that took place in our lives. We were so happy and so rejoicing in the Lord. Of course, my wife was still we had two different couples that were mentors for us, and then we moved to Minerva, Ohio, And there was this couple that mentored us down there. And we really grew in the Lord. We got together, we had good times. But all these ladies that came up to Martha and they told her that, you know what? Your dresses aren't long enough, and I think they should be longer. You know, so she tried to make them a little longer. And when we lived in Hartwell still, the one minister's wife came and talked to her and said, you know, I think your dress should be a little bit longer. We went to Faith Mission Home at one time, and there one of the ladies told her, you know, we think your dresses should be just a little bit longer. When we got here, some of the ladies said, you know what? We think almost that your dresses should be reaching to the floor, you know. She said, no, we're not going there. But that's, if somebody wants to do that, that's up to them, but she doesn't want to. Anyhow, we moved to Minerva, and they had an ordination there. And the Lord, I thought maybe the Brookholders would love to hear this story. I think maybe I told it before. But while we still lived back in Hartville, there was a number of us guys that went deer hunting up in the mountains, and I got lost in the mountains. I didn't know which way to go because the sun wasn't shining, and I didn't know which way to go. So I prayed to the Lord and asked that he would lead me back to camp. And this is what the Lord told me. From now on, I don't want you to be hunters, a hunter for animals, but I want you to be a hunter for man. I want you to go out and tell people about me. I said, okay, Lord, if you show me the way home, I'll do that. At that, within 5 minutes of that communication with the Lord, my cousin walked right up to me, and he had a compass to know where we were going. Now, I'm not saying that the Brookholders shouldn't go hunting. I don't have the permission to tell them that they should be hunters of men instead of animals. But God has the permission to tell us. Jesus told his disciples, I am going to leave you. Oh, no, they said, you know, what are we going to do if we don't have our master? And Jesus told them, when I go away, I will send the Comforter, and he will lead you into all truth. So the Holy Spirit within us, the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, it's Jesus Christ, and it's God, three in one. And all these three, Paul says in one place, see that you do not grieve the Holy Spirit. So that means that the Holy Spirit has feelings just like you and I do. We can grieve him when we disobey or when we don't listen to him. So, the Lord led me to share this morning on something that there's a lot of churches that teach on this subject. And sometimes we say the Pentecostal people can't have all the fun. And I am not knocking the Pentecostal people. I knew Pentecostal people in Virginia. And I have nothing against them necessarily, except for the fact that it seems like when the Pentecostal people got to the place where they did all their speaking in tongues and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and all that, they soon forgot that they chose that instead of obedience to the scripture. Once they talked in tongues and things like that, the scripture didn't matter anymore. They could disobey. There was one person that, oh yeah, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, but he divorced his wife. And what is that? What's that saying? So what I would like to share with you this morning is that when Jesus went away from his disciples, he said, I'm going to send the Comforter. And the Comforter will lead you into all truth. Ye shall know the truth. And anything that you ask in my Father's name, I will do it. The Holy Spirit will guide you. So I've heard different people say from this congregation that they would like to be more filled with the Holy Spirit. They would like for the Holy Spirit to talk to them. So I would like to share with you how you can hear the Holy Spirit in your life. And he's not just going to come and knock on your door and say, I'm here to talk to you. Jesus said when he went away, ask and you shall receive. Ask and you shall receive. So if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and you want the Holy Spirit to lead you, you have to ask for it. He's not just going to give it to somebody half-heartedly or whatever. You have to be serious about being filled with the Holy Spirit. I have found that in order for the Holy Spirit to lead me, I have to be willing for Him to show me something. I have to be willing to listen. Now let's take for an illustration. You come to a crossroad on the road. And I've done this several times. Or you come to a T-road. You can turn either to the left or you can go to the right. And I've come to those places already where I ask God or the Holy Spirit to tell me, show me which way to turn here. I did not know. And when you ask the Holy Spirit, expect that He will tell you. Expect, have faith that He will tell you which way to turn. I still had a little apprehension, because it didn't seem right. And that is exactly what happens. As soon as you do that, and the Holy Spirit tells you something, Satan comes along and says, no, that's not the right way. So what I'm saying is, when you ask the Holy Spirit to show you something in your prayer life, you asked Him, you have to take the first thought that comes into your life. Not the second or the third. The first thought is the Holy Spirit. The first one. Now, it may not seem right, but it's the Holy Spirit. The first thought after you're finished praying. The second thought is of the devil. Because he will always try to compromise. Well, you know this and you know that, and you can do this and you can do that. No, you can't. The first thought is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. I have done that numerous times, and the Lord is faithful. The first thing that comes to your thought after you pray, that's the Holy Spirit. You've asked Him, He's done it, now go for it. Or, speaking about the gifts that He gives to you, how do I know when the Holy Spirit is talking to me? Sometimes the Holy Spirit will take you. You claim to be filled with the Spirit. Sometimes he'll tell you, you should go to this person and ask them how they're doing, or just something, just ask them, because they've got this problem. Now you go to that person and talk to him, and you don't tell him necessarily that you know the problem that he has, unless God tells you to do that. Maybe God will show you what the person is involved in, but if you would go and tell that person that you know it, he would probably think somebody else has told you, you know. But when you go to a person and say, the Holy Spirit led me to come here and talk to you, you know what that would mean to that person? The Holy Spirit gave me a thought to minister to you about this particular thing. It would be such an inspiration. They that have the gift of prophecy speak for exhortation, edification. It would make you feel so good if someone came and said, the Lord told me to come and talk to you. Is there something that I can do for you or help you? You would open up and say, well, yes, you know what? I've got this problem in my life. And I'd just like for you to pray for me. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit. It's amazing the things that will happen. The Lord said we can ask for a mountain to be removed. I'm not sure what all that includes. A lot of us take that to mean a mountain of difficulty in our life. God can remove it. God can make it better. So, how can we be filled with the Spirit? Ask God. Don't ask me, ask God. The Holy Spirit. He gives the Holy Spirit without measure to those people that would love to have the Holy Spirit. But he won't force the Holy Spirit on anyone. But he is right there to be our guide. He will show us of things to come. Now, he might be showing me just what's around the corner. If I come to that crossroad and I turn right, he'll show me something just around the corner. Be careful. But he's there with me. He's showing me. He leads us in our life. He talks to us. Another thing that we should do, get in the spirit of worship. Get in the spirit of listening. I mean, worshiping God. Thank you, Jesus, for what you mean to me. Thank you for our church. Thank you for my brothers and sisters, my family, my father and my mother. Thank you, Jesus, for everything that we have. Start praising and worshiping him. And as you worship God, the more he's going to communicate with you. Open up things that you never thought would be possible for you to walk in. God knows the sparrows. God knows all of these sparrows. And he said, you are of more value to me than those sparrows are. You're worth more than a sparrow. You're not a good for nothing, good for nobody. No! God has invested a lot of things in this church. A lot of things to people that he loves. I think I told you this before. I came home back to the farm. My dad was going through a nervous breakdown. This was after I was saved, and I walked out to the barn, and Dad was up on the haymow. And I said, what are you doing up there? He said, well, I'll tell you. So he came down. And he said that Satan was up there and telling him to take that fork that he had and hold it up to his chest and jump down off of the haymow and kill himself. I said, Dad, that's not God, that's Satan. Do you want to be saved? He said, yes, I do. What should I do? And I led my father to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The most wonderful thing that I have ever done. Now, it's kind of said that he went through life, or either he lost his faith when he had a nervous breakdown. I'm not sure. They tried to teach us and show us the right way to go. And of course, we haven't always obeyed. I wasn't the best young fellow but I wasn't the worst one either. I guess one thing that I can say is when I was a young teenager or whatever, I was so shy. I mean, it'd be hard to get me to talk. And so when we went over to the Beachy Church, I was still not a Christian. And the young people there wanted to make me president. Well, the president would lead it in prayer at noon meals and things like that. And I didn't know how to pray. And I thought, what are they trying to do, you know? And so I went to Mom and I said, I need you to help me pray. You know, they want to make me president. And the president was the one that usually, when the meal time came around, he prayed and all this, you know, and I didn't know how to do that. I had no idea. In the King Church where we were, they didn't have anything like that. Although, usually the men of the house where we were at would offer a prayer. But Mom helped me learn and memorize a prayer, and that worked out for a little bit. And I don't know, I guess they liked me. They didn't say that they didn't, but anyhow, I was not a Christian at that time. And I didn't become a Christian until after we were married. 2 days apart, two days apart from each other, Martha and I both became Christians. Life has never been the same since. We've learned a lot of things from you people here. We walk with you, we cherish everyone. And it's a little bit like the scripture tells us that just a little bit of what Bronson's little brother told him, that charity is the best thing, you know. So that's what the Bible says. Have charity among yourselves. Be at peace among yourselves. Love one another. Show each other respect. And I think that we do. You know, I don't know of anyone that doesn't respect other people or the older people, like James says. You know, there's just blessing after blessing, and we enjoy being here in this church. So if I didn't make sense this morning, maybe I can just say this way. If you'd like to learn more about the filling of the Holy Spirit in your life, you'd like to be full, you'd like to be led, I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet. I would love to pray for you. So if there is someone that would like to have his life yielded to the Holy Spirit more, you know, the Holy Spirit isn't going to get any better. Jesus said this because he said he couldn't be everywhere at one time. But now that Jesus is back in heaven, the Holy Spirit has come, and the Holy Spirit can be anywhere, all the time. Isn't that amazing? He can fill your life. He can fill my life. He can fill all of our lives and show us the way to go. He will tell us of things to come, the future. Okay. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, this morning I truly bow before you and thank you for this group here. Thank you for every husband and wife, for their children. Pray that every family might be aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Teach the children how to have the Holy Spirit, how to become Christians. And to become Christians is more than just going to the same church that mom and dad do. To become a Christian, you tell us that we need to confess our sins, to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit as well. So we thank you for that this morning, and I would pray that everyone in here might continue to walk and be filled with the Holy Spirit, to show them the way, to teach them how, and to walk faithfully in the presence of God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.